Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. It's going to be a cool show because we have a lot to talk about, including the playoffs. And if you've been
playoffs, yeah.
But it's funny because you know if you followed the show in the early parts of this season, the preseason, the off season. You know, we even considered the playoffs wouldn't even be in the realm of possibility. And so to be talking about the playoffs going into week 8, you know, it's super exciting, or week 9, sorry. And, it's super exciting and, you know, we can't wait to talk about that. But first, we'll do a quick intro. I'm Grant Goldberg. I co-host this Locked On Seahawks podcast. And I do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. And Spike is a writer for The Stranger and apparent Jim Mora impersonator, but the better Jim Mora in our eyes. But Spike, you know, we were pretty down on this team's chances to at least, you know, make some noise in the NFC, make the playoffs, and then we sit here at 4-3 in the current sixth seed if the season ended today. So, you know, I want to get your impression. I want to get your, you know, take on the Seahawks' chances to actually pull this off and make the playoffs at the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I want to say that it is my official position that there are no good Jim Moras out there. All Jim Moras are bad.
It's a low bar.
Yeah. But, okay, so, yeah, we thought this team wasn't great, and especially losing those two games up front to Chicago and Denver were rough. Those looked like games this team would have to win in order to overachieve a little bit and get to 10-6, which is probably what it's going to take to make the playoffs in the NFC. Now, a couple things happened. One, Seahawks offensive line was terrible in those games, but it's totally gelled after. And looking ahead at the schedule, you'll see that this offensive line simply does not play a single edge rusher of the caliber of Von Miller or Khalil Mack the rest of the way. Now, mind you, there are not a lot of those guys out there in the league. But, like, we're not playing Houston, who has Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt. You know, when we play Los Angeles this weekend, Joey Bosa is doubtful, and if he does play, he's still likely going to be hampered by a foot injury. Like, those great edge rushers aren't going to be out there. So those two early losses to teams that aren't great don't look so bad anymore. Also, San Francisco is totally cratered. And those two games against San Francisco that looked like they'd be really challenging, maybe the Seahawks wouldn't be favored, especially on the road, now look like easy wins. So just the math of the schedule adds up differently. Also, this team plays almost everybody it's battling for a wild card with going forward. In Minnesota, Carolina, Green Bay, they get all those teams going forward. And so math looks like it's a coin flip for the Seahawks to make the playoffs right now. They're obviously in the sixth seed, but, you know, Green Bay and Minnesota are right behind them with that tie from earlier in the year. And for me, that is, like, exciting. And, like, the fact that it's a coin flip, I think Football Outsiders has it literally at 50.5% for them to make the playoffs. That's really exciting. Again, we thought this season was going to be a wash. It was going to be about looking at young guys. It's still about looking at young guys, but those young guys are playing well enough that we can legitimately talk playoffs right now. And I think that number is right. I do think it is a coin flip for the Seahawks to make the playoffs. I think they will need to get to 10 wins. I think they've got three gimmies on the schedule and six games that are all very difficult. And if they win three of those, they make the playoffs. Grant, how do you feel right now about the playoffs?
I feel pretty confident, and it's really due to the way the Seahawks are playing right now, and also how the NFC has shaken out as a whole. I think a good part of why I thought the Seahawks had a good chance at missing the playoffs was because I thought the NFC was just going to be this, you know, murderer's row. Everybody was going to, I mean, there's teams that I thought were going to be a clear tier ahead of the Seahawks, yeah, and they, you know, have underwhelmed to start the season. Now who's to say they don't play better in the second half and the Seahawks decline? You know, that still has to shake out. But the way the Seahawks are playing right now, they found the winning formula, and they're playing tough inspired defense. They're, forcing takeaways, and they're capitalizing off good field position now on offense. And so, you see teams like the Packers and Vikings, that tie is huge in terms of, playoff implications, because not having that extra win in the win column is gonna, hurt their playoff chances already. And so, they largely control their own destiny going down this stretch. I know that term isn't really brought up until, the later parts of the season when it's actually cementing playoff position. But, like you said, they play the Packers, the Vikings, the Panthers. They play, I mean, it's not in conference game, but they play the Chargers and Chiefs, who are really two tough teams. Luckily, they're at home, and we'll talk about the Chargers game later. And so, I feel confident enough to say the Seahawks will make the playoffs.
Wow.
I do think they get to at least 10 wins. We went over the schedule last week, and I'm gonna say, there might be points in the season where teams jump the Seahawks in terms of playing position, playoff position. But when it's all said and done, and it's actually happening, I think the Seahawks will be in there.
Yeah, and here's another thing is that the Seahawks schedule gets really hard for the next month. So it's possible that they could go 1-3 over their next four games. Fall to what would that make them? That would make them 5-6. It would feel like they're out of it, but then they could reel off those last five games. Again, they've got that really tough one against the Chiefs late, but I think that's a matchup that actually the Seahawks are going to do pretty well in. I think some of the like specifics of that matchup benefit the Seahawks in ways that are maybe not obvious based on how well the Chiefs are playing right now. But this is the thing to say, don't panic. Right now, the Seahawks are in the playoffs. Right now, they're a coin flip to make it by the stats. If they continue to win over these next four games, they're going to make the playoffs. So that would be great. But even if they don't, just know those cupcakes are coming later. No dessert is on the menu. So don't panic if, against the Chargers, Philip Rivers, drops 35 on us. That doesn't mean the season is over right now. And so, as a fan, like it's very easy to be very reactive. Lord knows we've done it. I was calling for Brian Schottenheimer to get fired earlier this year. Now I am not, which is shocking to me. But like being highly reactive in this moment, given the difficulty, especially of those next three games, like relax. Like the Seahawks probably need to win one of those next three games, but they can survive if they only win one of those next three games. So don't panic if these numbers don't look as good come Thanksgiving, because we get the Niners, we get the Cardinals, we get the Niners again. That means CJ Beathard, that means W.
Yeah, I agree, and that's if anything, this season has shown just to be patient with the Seahawks. They started slow out of the gate, and then they found the team that they are, and so they're playing a lot better. So I think that shows enough to be patient and stick things out for this team. And so I think that's a good place to take a break, and we'll come back talking a little bit about Pete Carroll, talking about a little bit what he said in Monday's press conference. So stay tuned, and we'll be back with more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new clothes?
It's crazy.
It's crazy. We buy kids new clothes, we buy us new clothes, we buy our friends new clothes for their birthdays, and sometimes even adults outgrow their clothes. And it'd be great to discover a place where we can find awesome discounts on gently used clothes. And that place exists. It's swap.com. It's the world's
Swap.com.
largest online consignment and thrift store. It eliminates the need to drive around and sift through the racks of dirty clothes that haven't been washed, that are just frankly gross to look through. And
Don't
so
go to the Goodwill outlet.
definitely not the Goodwill outlet. And so, there's so much textile waste, 14 million tons every year, and shopping at secondhand at swap.com helps prevent that waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about. Shopping on swap.com provides you the opportunity to find brand names like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J. Crew, and Gap. Every item is quality, hand inspected, and their new items added daily. And if something doesn't fit, you can enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. And so we have a special offer for our listeners. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get 35% off select items on your first order on swap.com. So that's Locked On for 35% off select items on your first order on swap.com. Plus, you can find new deals every day on their homepage. That's swap.com, Locked On. All right, welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and we last left you talking about Pete Carroll and what he was talking about on Monday. Now, I know, Spike, you are the Carrollologist expert on the show. So what, I guess, what most stood out to you in his Monday press conference after this win against the Lions?
There are two things that popped out. The first was that someone asked him about injuries, and like he managed to not say anything in a way. He was like, "Oh, Dixon and KJ Wright got through the game," but he did imply that there is at least one, if not two, injuries out there that we don't know about from last week's game. I'm worried it's David Moore because he looked like he pulled up at one point. Brandon Marshall got some snaps late. I'm a little worried David Moore's got a little bit of a muscle thing, might be limited this week. Now, that is literally reading between the lines. Pete Carroll said nothing to back that up, but just keep your eyes out for that one. The other thing is he was talking about Michael Dixon's run, and he talked about it in the context of Willie Mays and how for him, the best thing about sports and what inspired him about sports was Willie Mays as a kid. The fact that he would just do things that other guys couldn't do, see things that other guys couldn't see, and that he wants to free up his players to play that way. And I love that about this team. And it's something we forget, and especially we've forgotten over the last couple of years when the offensive line has been so terrible. But he brought up, he's like, Russell Wilson's been doing that here for years. Like, of course that is our system. Of course that's the way we play and the way we coach. And it's like, oh, yeah. And watching Russell Wilson ball out this week, the last couple of weeks, has just been a reminder of how good Pete Carroll is at getting guys to play outside of the system, but within the system, to prepare them to play outside of the system. And it reminded me, so he's talking about Michael Dixon now, like 3 weeks ago, he's like, if you see the opportunity, take it to run. And Dixon did it this weekend, even though it was a crazy play, and how Russ does it all the time. But it really reminded me of the tip drills the Legion of Boom used to do. Obviously, the most famous one was Sherm to Malcolm Smith at the end of the NFC Championship game to ice that on the road to the Super Bowl. But there was also one earlier that year with Earl Thomas. And Earl Thomas had a couple of them through his career, but he had one against Eli Manning that was particularly impressive. And just that, like, you prepare to free yourself up to make these amazing plays outside of the system. And that's what's made the Seahawks team so cool over the last few years. And the fact that that's coming back, both because we've got a great offensive line that's letting Russell Wilson improvise again, and that we have a punter who can improvise, is amazing. And again, this all just comes back to Michael Dixon, LeBron James of punting. But now I think he's the Willie Mays of punting. And so we're going to stick with that for a minute. So that's what I pulled out of this presser. Grant, what did you pull out?
Well, I mean, I think that means Michael Dixon's a double generational athlete.
Yeah, double generational talent. Classic double gen.
Right, exactly. And so, no, I can't say that we didn't expect this to happen. No, but
No, we knew. We knew. If you've been listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast from the beginning, we knew. And, shouts to Sean from CBAC on Twitter, who was a guest on the show, where we could really dive in to Michael Dixon. If you want to go back, if you didn't listen to that podcast that happened like 2 months ago, this is a daily podcast, so it's weird to go back, but find that episode with Sean Clement that is incredible, talking about all the spins that Michael Dixon can do. We knew this is something we called.
We got out ahead of the curve. But the thing that most stood out to me too, and we talked about it even yesterday before we listened to Pete, is that Russell Wilson trusts his receivers, but he's always, gave his receivers the opportunity to make plays on the balls. But this year we're seeing them come through and being consistent. I'd say that, Doug Baldwin was always set the standard in just having the surest hands and is just the safest option to, make a play, make an explosive play on the Seahawks offense in terms of wide receivers. But now we're seeing contributions from guys not named Doug Baldwin. We're seeing consistent performance from Tyler Lockett. We're seeing a breakout performance from David Moore. And so, this offense looks so much more prolific because Russell Wilson has options other than Doug Baldwin to go to for explosives. We're seeing production out of the tight end room, whether that was Will Dissly earlier in the season and Ed Dixon now. But we're just seeing an overall consistency and a reliability from these receivers. And I think that prompts reporters to bring up the fact that Russell Wilson's trusting his receivers more. It's not that he trusts his receivers anymore. It's just that the trust is warranted now. And players are making plays. They're earning playing time. David Moore has effectively replaced Brandon Marshall in the offense. He's replaced Jerron Brown in the offense, and that is a great thing for the Seahawks offense. Russell Wilson has a perfect quarterback rating when targeting David Moore. It's absurd, and it's a similar quarterback rating when he targets Tyler Lockett. But no, I'm happy with the overall production of the wide receiver room. I think that, it's kind of mirrored where we were at the beginning of the season on the Seahawks team. The wide receiver group has been the same case. We were down on the overall, talent level and the amount of playmakers they had, but I'd say it's almost completely flipped to this point in the season.
Yeah, I didn't think David Moore would be this good. And I think reading between the lines on what he said about Brandon Marshall, they asked him about Brandon Marshall, only got two snaps on Sunday late in the game. But again, I think Moore might be a little dinged up. But Pete was like, yeah, well, we only threw it 17 times, not a lot of opportunities for him to go out there. I could hear in Pete's voice he's maybe done with Brandon Marshall. I would not be shocked to see Brandon Marshall end up cut this year at some point. I mean, we'll see. But for me, I mean, man, that wide receiver group. And we didn't know what we'd get out of Doug Baldwin this year. He looks good. We didn't know what we'd get out of Tyler Lockett this year. He looks back to being full speed. We did not know what we would be getting out of David Moore this year. And it is miles beyond what anyone could hope for. So I think that in particular stands out as the, that late round hit we've been needing in terms of a weapon. We got it, it looks like, in David Moore, and that's thrilling.
Yeah, exactly. David Moore sort of took on this role among Seahawks fans as like I wouldn't even say like a cult hero, but
Yeah,
like
but it's like Kaysen or Troy Mann Pope or one of those
yeah,
dudes.
exactly. People adore him, but he hasn't really done anything. But it's warranted now. I think that's the word I keep
Oh,
going
yeah.
back to. He's absolutely. Had great performances on the field. He's been a reliable target for Russell Wilson in the end zone. And so, yeah, he's a guy that makes plays, and we're happy to have him on the roster. And I think that's a good point to take a break and go into our final segment where we'll look ahead to Sunday's game against the Chargers at CenturyLink Field. So, stay tuned. We'll be back with more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person, seeing the Seahawks in person, and with Vivid Seats, you can attend that Seahawks game, that concert, that show, at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all live events that you want to go to. You can search by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners of the Locked On Seahawks podcast an exclusive promo for new customers to receive $20 off $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest games, biggest concerts, to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. We are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And you know, we have a big game coming up on Sunday against the now Los Angeles Chargers. And you know, I said, I think it was last week when we were going over the schedule, that this has a potential game of the year feel with this with how the Seahawks are playing on offense and defense, and the way the Chargers are playing as a team as well. You know, this has sort of a Houston Texans style game from last year coming up. I think we're in for a really good time. Like you said earlier, Joey Bosa is doubtful, and so you know they don't have that opposing threat on the other side of the line like they do in Melvin Ingram coming up. And Melvin Gordon's status is up in the air as well. But, you know, the Chargers are as complete of a team as, you know, anybody in the NFL right now. And we have a kind of heavyweight fight coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, their weakness is their cornerbacks right now. But, man, Derwin James, their rookie safety, a dude who some people in Seahawks land were hoping would potentially fall to the Seahawks as a potential Earl or Cam replacement, he's really good. He's really good. He looks like Jalen Ramsey as a rookie. Like, he's that level of good. So, you know, that's a great player they've got on that defense. Melvin Ingram's a great player they have on that defense. Their cornerbacks have not played as well so far this year. So if there is a weakness, it might be exploitable. And as we were talking about in the last segment, Russell Wilson is trusting his receivers, throwing into incredibly tight spots. And so hopefully we see a little bit more of that on Sunday. I think this is going to be a shootout. This Chargers offense is, I believe, third in the league in DVOA and, like, very, very good. If it weren't for the Chiefs and Rams breaking all the rules and breaking all the records, like, we'd be talking about Phillip Rivers as the MVP candidate. Now, I think he's still probably behind Patrick Mahomes, but we'll see. Mentioning Melvin Gordon potentially being out, that would be big for the Seahawks. He is a dynamic, as good a running back as there is in the league.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley level, Zeke Elliott level. He is there. And they've got some guys behind him. Austin Eckler is a really interesting sort of gadget guy. Darren Sproles, Tariq Cohen type, who is terrifying in terms of just like being there for a couple explosive plays a game. But if he is their featured back, that is a big advantage for the Seahawks run defense that's really, really stout right now. They're looking really good as a run defense. And, I mean, I think they might be second to Washington right now, or maybe third. Maybe Baltimore's there too. But the Seahawks run defense is really, really good right now. And so not having to face someone of the caliber of Melvin Gordon will only heighten that strength, especially because Gordon's been – a massive weapon for the Chargers in the passing game this
right.
year. So, you know, again, the Todd Gurley comparison, they're always going to be linked to one another because of their draft status. But right now they're linked to one another because they are probably the two best running backs in the league. I think it's going to be a great game, and we're going to break it down more as the week goes on.
Yeah, definitely. The point I was going to make, and you made it, is that you know, how they use Gordon, he's such a vital part of their offense in both facets, in the run game and pass game, and then sets up these deep shots to their wide receivers in Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams, who's an absolute burner. And so this is going to be a big test for the Seahawks defense, another test for the defensive backs, and see if they can keep the lid on. And we're going to really need to bank on Tedrick Thompson having a really good game in order for the Seahawks to win the game, to play that kind of Earl Thomas role, or 80% of Earl Thomas, and be effective against these wide receivers, because it's another legitimate group of guys. Like we've been saying all week, Phillip Rivers is playing, as well as he's ever played. So this is, without a doubt, probably outside of the Rams in this early part of the season, the toughest game that the Seahawks have had. And so I think that it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be a huge test. And it's going to be a benchmark in the season to see, if the Seahawks are true playoff contenders. They've passed most of the tests so far after the Broncos and Bears games. And so, this is going to be another one that, really shows us what kind of Seahawks team this really is.
Yeah, and this one's at home. I mean, if they can win this game, man, that would really say something, because this Chargers team is really good, and this defense, Pete Carroll has struggled against Phillip Rivers in the past, and so we know Phillip Rivers can beat this scheme, and so it's going to be up to the personnel to do a really good job. We've struggled to hit Phillip Rivers in the past. He's so good moving around in the pocket. We're going to need the pass rush to get home. We're going to need Deion Jordan to be at full flight alongside Frank Clark. Their offensive line's a little banged up, because it always is, but it's not in that full Chargers meltdown mode. So it's going to be a struggle, but that's going to be huge. And I think you're right. The Tedrick Thompson, being able to protect over the top. Like, we saw him make one mistake against Matt Stafford and get exploited. Phillip Rivers is a better Matt Stafford in a lot of ways. And this Chargers offense is a better version of what we just faced. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be exciting. Going to be exciting.
Yep, going to be a great game, and we're going to have a great build up to it. And so make sure you're tuning in every day on the Locked On Seahawks podcast. We appreciate you guys listening to the show. We appreciate every 5-star review on iTunes. So go ahead, go to iTunes, leave that review, and leave a question in the review, because it will get answered on the show, so long as it's, not super duper weird. You can reach us on Twitter at Grant Goldberg, at Spike Friedman. The show's Twitter is at Locked Seahawks. And you can find the show, or you can tell people to find the show at on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, I think it is, Spotify, and a bunch of other places. It's super easy to find the show. There's really no excuse not to find it. So yeah, thank you guys. And Spike, did I leave anything out?
Swap.com, buy your clothes, buy some clothes.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And so, for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.